He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone. It's Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, coming to you live and in color from our Scottsdale, Arizona studio. We are on show number 251 today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have an interesting program for you today. In fact, the next couple weeks, maybe not consecutive weeks, but the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about all kinds of different IP cameras and also cameras that will log onto the Wi-Fi, security cameras both inside and outside. Today, if we take a quick peek at camera two, we'll see that we're going to be talking about the Amcrest 720p Wi-Fi bullet camera, and we'll get to that in just a second. I've just tested the camera out. It works pretty good. It has a couple, I think, unique features, and then it has a couple features that I don't love, but we'll talk about that in a second. Of course, you can email me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. That would be thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com, and I do try to answer all our email. And you can also follow us on Facebook. That would be Facebook/thegadgetprofessor. Well, today, folks, I have a camera that I actually purchased, and I plan to use this outside back in Rhode Island. And this camera is called the Amcrest HD Series Outdoor 720p Wi-Fi Wireless IP Security Bullet Camera. That is a mouthful, and it's supposedly rated at a IP66 weatherproof, and of course it's 720p, so it is going to give you high def. Relatively new camera. One thing I will tell you is that this camera is actually made, as far as I know, by a company called Foscam, and I'm not too fond of the Foscam products, and I did a review on those maybe 3 years ago. A lot happens in 3 years, and I think they've beefed up their game, their technology, and I'm always open to try something out new. This is a pretty good product, at least it appears to be. Let's take a look on camera two, and we'll get up close and friendly with it. This is what the device actually looks like, and you'll notice on the frame here, on the lens, you see a bunch of LED lights, and what these lights are for is for night vision, and I have not tested this out yet for night vision. In the very center there, you'll see the lens. Now this is, it appears to be hardcore steel, if you will, and it seems to be well made, unlike their other products that they've had. Also on the top, I'll point out that there's a screw here, a thumb screw that you could turn, and you're actually able to slide a hood onto this if you so desire it. That's a good idea to use it all the time because the hood will prevent ricocheting of the light wave, of the light coming in, and shadows, so I would always keep that on, but that's up to you, and then you could tighten the screw down. On the back, there's not really much to see. Right here, you're going to notice that there's an antenna, and that's to pick up the Wi-Fi. When I tested this out at home, it immediately logged on, and we'll talk about how that does that to my Wi-Fi, and it worked quite well. There's also a mounting bracket that comes attached to it right here. You can't take that off. And of course, this will go up and down. And there's no tightening screws on this other than an Allen wrench that you'll need. And it looks like it's to take it apart. They do have a Phillips screw right there that you can tighten up to keep this firm. But as it is right now out of the box, it seems to be pretty tight. When you put it in a position, it's not going to move. That's pretty much it. One thing I noticed that's kind of odd to me is there's no lights. The camera is plugged in. It's on. But there's no lights to indicate to me that it's on other than I know it's plugged in. Also, you're able to unscrew this antenna if you want to add a bigger antenna to get better Wi-Fi reception. This tip just unscrews, and you can put any type of Wi-Fi antenna there. And usually there's standard connectors here, so that shouldn't be an issue. But right now I'm using the one that came with it. It seems to be painted well, so on and so forth. I will call your attention, because you're going to need to realize this right here, to this identification plate, which has a serial number, and it also has a QR code, and this is important to see that the QR code is there, and I'll show you why in a second. In terms of wiring, it's connected directly inside here, and there's a little knockout right there for the wire to nicely go in place, and then you can actually screw this down in those three locations to wherever it is you plan to mount it. Now on the back side, and this is where it gets kind of technical, and I've had a lot of experience with these cameras, this is what the wiring side looks like. Now again, if these are going to be used outdoors, this is exposed 24/7 to all the elements. So immediately I've noticed that this is your power connect right here. This comes to a power supply which needs to be plugged in. So wherever you install this camera, you're going to need 110 volts to plug in the back end of the power supply. The cord that they give you is probably about, I would say, 4 or 5 feet long. You may probably need an extension. Again, I don't know how you're going to install this or where. Now, one of the problems that I see immediately, and again, I'm willing to try this, but I know from experience that right here you'll see that there's a little bit of metal exposed. It makes a good connection. It's not going to come out unless you yank it. But the fact that this is exposed, this metal exposure, I know that if this is outside in the Boston area or Rhode Island area, in the wintertime, this isn't going to get waterlogged. Ice is going to form in there. It's going to freeze. And as it freezes, it's going to push this apart. And I predict that that's going to be a trouble spot. If not, it's going to rust. And you know what happens when things rust. You're going to get a lousy connection or it will just fall apart. So right off the bat, I see a problem area here. They should have taken a little bit more precautions here and built some type of a waterproof enclosure. So what I would suggest doing is to take high quality rubber electrical tape or a high quality caulk and actually caulk that connection in, because it's going to be a problem. And we're going to keep our eye on this camera over the next year or so, and we'll see how this wears and tears, if you will. So that's a problem. I suggest either caulking it in or wrapping it with a high quality electrical tape. Again, the problem with high quality rubberized electrical tape is, again, when the weather elements get in, the tape freezes and it breaks the connection. So I'm probably going to put some water seal on this, some type of acrylic water seal that will keep the water out. Moving along, there's another connection here, and it's kind of the same principle. This is where your Ethernet cord would go, and I know already you're saying, well, I don't have an Ethernet cord outside, and I understand that. If you're inside, you probably want to use the wire, but this is certainly equipped to take the Wi-Fi connection. Because I'm in the office here in the studio, I needed to use an Ethernet cord to be able to get this connect, because of the security situation that we have here with the Wi-Fi. It's not easy to connect outside devices for obvious reasons. So this cord is okay. What they did do is they supplied another connector, which I thought was a great idea, and this is a waterproof connector. There's two little washers. There's one here and one inside here, and this will go on the other end if you're going to have an Ethernet connection outside, which is quite unusual, I might add. Quite unusual to have an Ethernet cord outside. It's also going to force you to run a power cord alongside with the Ethernet cord, which is preposterous. But in any event, the other thing that is crazy about this is you come in on this end, but you're going to have to cut this connector and solder your own, crimp your own new Ethernet cable connector on there, which is, again, a little bit much to think that people are going to do that. But in any event, they did include this waterproof cord. I would, again, caulk it and make sure that no water gets in there. And last but not least, which I think is absurd, is they really missed the boat. This is your reset wire. This used to have a little red switch on it, these two little wires here. I don't know if you could see them, but these two wires here, you just touch them together, and that will reset the internal components of the camera itself. So you just touch this green wire and this white wire together. There's no electricity current coming through that's going to hurt you or anything like that. So if you push these two together, we'll reset the camera if you have to reset the username and password, which does come with this. You can set your own username and password on this. But this is not going to last. Not only are these wires going to rust, but this whole electrical, you know, extension of these two wires, they're just going to fall apart in less than a year. I promise you that. So what I would do is I would tape these up, I would fold them back like so, and I would caulk the whole thing up or put some type of weatherproofing around these wires, because I promise you it's very vulnerable and it's a very sloppy design. So that kind of shows you the outside of the camera. Again, it's well built, it's heavy, and essentially what you'll do with this is you're going to download the app, which is called Amcrest Pro. It's free. You're going to download the app, and then the software will appear on your iPhone or your iOS or your Droid, whatever tablet you had, or phone, it will go immediately to that. And from that point, you're going to set it up. The way you set it up is on the Wi-Fi, is you're going to actually go through a setup procedure. First, it's going to ask you to name the camera. Very simple to do. You pick a name. The second thing that it's going to ask you to do is to write the serial number in. What's nice about that, and it's a new feature, is you click the next button, automatically your device will look like a scanner, and you just put it in front of this barcode here, your QR code, and instantly, I mean instantly, it actually fills in the serial number for you, talks to the camera, and that's a done deal. At that point, you're going to connect. You're going to try to connect it up to the internet. You'll hit next, and if you're on a an Ethernet cord, it will recognize it, and pretty much you're on air, if you will. Or if you have a Wi-Fi connection, my experience was with this is that it was going to find the network that you have. You'll locate whatever Wi-Fi network you have. You'll put your username and password in, and it will connect up to the Wi-Fi network. And then also you'll have a username and password to allow you to see the camera. Once that's done, we'll take a look here, and I'll try to put it on camera too. I didn't test this out, but that's essentially the camera. And right now, I'm in the studio. There you go, and I'm pointing the camera right towards the back of the studio. And you can see that it gives you a pretty good definition. It's 720p, and now I'll turn the camera around to myself, and there's not much lag at all with this. It does work, and that's pretty much it. You're also able to go onto this device, and if you spread the image apart, you can enlarge it or shrink it down, so it will do that. The other thing that it does, if you add more cameras, as you go through the functionality of this software, it will allow you to put four different cameras up on the screen. It will allow you to shoot and record video on this. They do have a cloud feature that's pretty nice. You can shoot video, you can take stills, it will alert you, you can set motion parameters so that if someone were to walk in front of the camera or in the back there where the studio is, this will send you alerts. So all that functionality is certainly built into the camera, and it seems like it's a great device. That said, I have to tell you that you don't know how these things work until you've had them up for 30, 40 days. I've mentioned the problems that you may encounter with the elements, with the weather. Back in Rhode Island or the Boston area, you're going to have the freezing rain, the very cold temperatures, just the dampness in general. That's a big problem. Out here in Arizona, you'll have the reverse. You're not going to get that much rain. You'll very rarely, if ever, get snow or ice. But you will get extremely high temperatures, 123. I've seen that here in Phoenix easily, and I don't know how it will hold up under extreme heat. We're going to find out. So that said, those are the problems you can run in with the physical elements. The other problem, and probably the main problem that you're going to run in with any type of camera like this, is going to be right here. It's the Wi-Fi. And what happens is it works today, but tomorrow your internet may shut down for whatever reason. Someone unplugged the router, the internet itself crashed, whatever it may be. Someone pulled the power cord out inadvertently from this device, and when it's plugged back in, it doesn't automatically lock onto the signal. I have found that to be the case in probably 90% of all these types of cameras that I use. I don't know if that's the case with this particular camera, but we will find out when we get out of the studio. We're going to hook this up, permanently mount it, and then we'll keep an eye on it, no pun intended, and we'll see how it works. And I will disconnect it, reconnect it, turn the internet off, turn it back on, unplug the power supply, and we'll test its ability to relock onto the signal. If it doesn't, it's like all the other cameras, and it's virtually useless. I had an IP camera in a building that I had in Boston. The internet went down, the power went down, the camera never logged back on. I had to have someone physically go to the camera and basically reconnect everything, uninstall, reinstall, and up it came, and it was good until the internet went out or the power went out the next time. So that's the big question mark with all these types of cameras. In terms of the physical build, I think it's great, it looks good, and now we get to the price, which is a big $89. That's probably the cheapest I have seen anywhere for a camera that has this type of functionality. And on the positive side, one of the nice things about these types of cameras is you can be anywhere and just go onto your tablet or your phone and see what's going on, or if something happens, it will send you an alert anywhere in the world as long as you're connected. And that's a really nice feature. So for $89, I think it's an exceptional buy given what it does. Also, given that it's an outdoor camera, you could never touch those for under $400 or $500, and they still had all the problems that I just mentioned that this may have. So we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll see what's doing with it. And next show, I'll actually have this installed, and we'll take a peek at it. Yes, you can go on to a website and see what's happening if you don't want to log on your phone. And yes, it does have the ability to store up to 4 hours of video footage on their server. So it does have all the amenities. It looks pretty good. We'll have to wait and see. We're going to go into some tech news. The biggest news that I have is Wiz. What is Wiz? You don't want Wiz. Wiz basically is a Wi-Fi hotspot. It's an adware program that injects advertisements onto web pages while you're browsing the web. When you browse the web, this adware is installed, and the Wiz Wi-Fi hotspot will display intrusive and unwanted ads onto websites that make it difficult for you to read the content on the site. Which is bad enough, but to make matters worse, what they do is you will also find that this adware causes your computer to be sluggish, be so slow that it barely works. The other thing that it does that's pretty nasty is it will also start taking some of your information, usernames, passwords, things like that. And you will also have things that says powered by Wiz Wi-Fi hotspot, brought to you by Wiz Wi-Fi hotspot. One of the things that it does, and it's pretty clever and pretty nasty, is you're searching sites like Amazon, for example, and here's a picture of it. It brings up other prices from other places of products that you're looking at. So you're figuring, wow, this thing is great. The camera's $87. Here it's $80, and this Wiz stuff is great. Actually, it's not, because it's loading all kinds of stuff. Your advertising banners are injected with the web page that you're visiting. Random web page text is turned into hyperlinks, which means you're clicking on sites that you don't even know what they're doing to you. Your browser pop-ups will appear with recommended sites that are totally fake and loading additional junk onto your computer. And you need to get it off, bottom line. You need to get it off now. And I will post in the show notes how to go about that and get that off if you're getting all kinds of pop-ups. But it's simple to take off. But if you don't, it will get to the point where your machine won't work. I promise you that, unfortunately. Now, this is something that's relatively new. You may not know this, but Amazon Prime is offering just their video service alone. You don't have to pay, I think it's $100 or $120, I don't remember, for Amazon Prime. Now you can just pay $9 a month and get their video only. And here's a chart that will show you what you get for $9 a month, which you get for $10.99, and of course it's $99 I see here for the annual renewal of Amazon Prime. So it's not a bad deal at all, and if you're having issues with Netflix, you may want to check out Amazon Prime. That's not a bad deal. Now, going back to breaches and hacking, this one's very nasty. 7 million people were impacted by the Lifeboat Minecraft community breach. Essentially what happened is on Tuesday, the accounts of more than 7 million members of the Minecraft community, Lifeboat, have been exposed after a data breach in early, roughly January 2016. Pretty much everybody who is on that list, which is about 7 million accounts as far as we know, their usernames and passwords were compromised, their email addresses were compromised, their hashed passwords, usernames, all that kind of stuff was hacked. And the sad thing is that they did not report it and have still not officially reported to the community that there was a breach of over 7 million of their customers. And this is an article that explains all about that and what you can do, which is not much, but it's pretty scary. Also, I'll tell you that American Express has just recently been breached as of, I think, Saturday or Sunday of this past week. And it's getting pretty crazy out there, so you can't be too secure. I suggest changing your usernames and passwords at least once a month. I know it's a pain in the neck, but the more you change that, the more essentially secure you'll be, and hopefully you won't get hacked. Here's a great deal if you can take of this, and I hope that you can't. And the reason is that AT&T, which is nice, is going to start offering discounted internet access to low-income families for as low as $5 a month. That's right, $5 a month. You have to qualify this. This isn't for everybody. This is for people who are poor and who want access to the internet, would like access to the internet. It's nice that the company does this. I know that the requirements are pretty stringent, and they verify everything, so you're not going to, you know, fool anybody if you're trying to get a $5 internet connection. But one of the requirements is at least one person in the household has to be on food stamps. So if you would like to check into this, AT&T Access will offer 3 MIPS connections at for about $5 a month, 5 or 10 MIPS for about $10 a month. So you want to read this article. It will be in the show notes, and hopefully if you need this, you'll be able to get that service at an extremely reasonable fee. Now I'm going to tell everybody that you may or may not know this, that if you're updated to Windows 10, they're going to have a major, I mean a major overhaul, and you're going to get the updates for Windows 10 sometime in the summer. I don't know when, July or August, more likely than not. And here's an article that talks about all the things that are going to be updated in Windows 10. And quite frankly, there's a lot of really cool things here that are going to be involved in that free upgrade. So if you have a chance and are interested to see what's coming up in Windows 10, I would suggest that you read this article. Now here's a piece of free software that I just loaded last night. I had to test this out for a friend of mine that doesn't want to spend any money, and I get that. But they wanted the ability to upgrade their photographs, and also they wanted to be able to do a face search on the internet. This particular software, which is totally free, it's called Photoscape, will allow you to do that. It's a viewer, so you can view your folders on a folder. It will create a slideshow. It's an editor, so you can resize, you can change the brightness, the contrast, the white balance, the backlighting, all those things very easily. It has a paintbrush, it has a stamp, an effects brush, so it has all kinds of utilities in there that will allow you to adjust the photographs. And if you like what you see, you've created a nice look and style and feel, you can batch edit with one click of a button. You can have all your photographs retain that particular style that you've edited with. So that's kind of nice. You can apply multiple photographs on a page, animated GIFs. You can print them. They have a splitter, screen capture, which is nice. RAW conversion, which is nice. If you shoot RAW and you want to convert it to JPEG, you can click a button and it will do that. This is all for free, and of course it does have that face search, which is find similar faces on the internet. And that's a cool feature, and that will help my friend out a lot. And last, I'm going to mention that Lifehacker Code has a new app, or a new extension, if you will, for the Firefox browser. And it is called Better Gmail. So there's a whole article here that describes what Better Gmail will do, but it gives you some great functionality. You can add saved searches, attach icons, label colors, keyboard macros, and filter assistant, right-click conversation previews, and a lot more. Now, you could at one point in time, and you still can, go to a Grease Monkey and hunt down all these little codes that will give you this added value, but Better Gmail does is it's taken the best of those apps, if you will, those applets, and made it into a file extension. So all you have to do is load it on your browser, as long, of course, as you're using the Firefox browser. You'll be able to get this, quote, Better Gmail extension. I did load it on. I played with it for about a half hour. It looks great. It really does, and it does a lot of things that I had wished Gmail would have done right out of the chute, and who knows, maybe someday they will. So that will wrap it up today for the Gadget Professor. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see everyone next Thursday. So long from the Gadget Professor.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain,
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on the Gadget Professor or would like to appear on the Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor!